Greetings again in Jesus' name. This morning I'm going to be preaching on the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is commonly known as the parousia or the second advent. The second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Scholars have identified about 1,845 references to the second coming in the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so this is a significant theme that we as believers need to engage with. And it is demonstrated that the references to the second coming outnumbers the first coming of Christ by 8 to 1. And this is what scholars tell us. In fact, with Christ's first coming, there are so many prophecies concerning his coming. But the figure 8 to 1 tells us that the promise of Christ's second coming is much, much more. And so we have got to deal with many, many texts in the scriptures that point to his coming and so apply it to our lives. And so this morning, as much as there are over 1,800 scriptures, we're going to be focusing on one, which is Matthew 24, where Jesus himself speaks about his second coming, and especially that which would precede his coming. So Matthew 24, 1 to 44, it's a lengthy passage. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go through it very briefly as we look at what Christ is saying here concerning his coming and how we as believers are called to prepare in light of his coming. I'm reading from the NIV, Matthew 24, reading from verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came to him to call his attention to its building. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. "So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it would be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May the Lord bless to us the reading and the hearing of his word. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that by your Spirit's work and through his anointing and through his presence in our lives, may your word, Lord, be opened up to us. May our minds be challenged. May our hearts be changed. And may the truths contained in this text become, Lord, a practical reality in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at three points as we journey, three major points as we journey with this text. We're going to look at the two questions of the disciples, which are contained in the first three verses of Matthew 24. Thereafter, we're going to examine briefly the signs preceding Christ's coming. In other words, the signs that we've got to look for before the coming of Jesus Christ. And these are highlighted from verse 4 to verse 31. And then thirdly, Jesus brings out an application here. And so he's made my job a little easier, because all I've done is taken Christ's application, and together we are going to apply it even in our lives as we journey through this message. So applying Christ's coming to everyday life from verse 32 to verse 44. Let's look firstly at the two questions of the disciples. Now, this is situated on the Mount of Olives. The question from verse 3 onwards, you're going to find this is Jesus sitting with his disciples. But in the first two verses, as it were, they're at a different location. They are at the temple or coming away from the temple. Listen, again I read from the text. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Now, This is Herod's temple, the temple that Herod had built, and it was still being constructed. And we know right up until probably 63, 64 AD, up until then, the temple was being constructed, and it was finished around 63, 64 AD, and thereafter, in AD 70, we know that the temple was destroyed. And Jesus reminds them of that fact, that this temple is not going to stand forever. Because as they're walking past the temple, they say to Jesus, "Jesus, look how magnificent this temple is." And so Jesus says to them, "Do you see all these things? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and so in the interim, so Jesus told them, "Listen, this is going to be destroyed." And they are journeying, and they journey through the Kidron Valley and to the Mount of Olives, and now they're seated, and you can imagine the somber mood of these Jewish men as they were journeying. But the scriptures don't record for us what was or what were their conversations as they journey. But we can imagine what's going on in their minds and in their thoughts, because they look at the brilliance of the temple, and Jesus says, "Actually, this is not going to last very long." And so now that they get to the Mount of Olives, they are with Jesus privately, and they say to Jesus, "Tell us two questions. When will this happen? And secondly, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" When will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, the second question is what we're going to be dealing with mostly, for we know that with regards to the temple, that it was actually destroyed in AD 70, where the Jewish and the Roman war, and the Romans, we know, leveled the temple. So much so that not much was left of it. In fact, every stone was brought down, and history confirms this. And not only Christian history, but also Jewish history from historians like Josephus and so forth. They tell of what happened in AD 70. Now, we know that in Matthew chapter 12, as Jesus was speaking to the Jews of his day, he was reminding them that something greater, someone greater than the temple is here, and in essence making reference to himself. And as we again move to the book of Hebrews, we see how Christ fulfilled all of the requirements, all of the Old Testament requirements. And so in essence, he becomes the fulfillment of the temple. You see, the Jewish temple was but a shadow, but Jesus is the reality. And all that happened in the Old Testament temple pointed to a greater reality in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he would come and fulfill all of those requirements. Also, the temple was but a symbol, and in Jesus we find the substance. And therefore he is able in chapter 12 to stand before the Jews of his day and dialoguing about the Sabbath, and then he tells them someone or something greater than the temple is here. The Jews held the temple in high regard. In fact, they would swear by the temple. But here we find that Jesus is pointing to himself as the supreme sovereign temple by which we are able to encounter God and meet God. So when will this happen? And we know that it happened in AD 70, and for the last 2,000 years, there's been no temple worship, and all that remains of those stones is now what is known as the Wailing Wall, where Jews go today to pray and to weep as they remember the temple. Secondly, we look at the second question that they asked, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they liken Christ's coming to the end of the age, and the end of the age to Christ's coming. And so what are the signs preceding Christ's coming? There are about nine of them, and we're going to just briefly go over them so that we living today in the 21st century are able to know what to look out for, and that we are informed, because these are the words of Jesus as recorded by Matthew. And he tells us what to look out for. So what are the signs? First, the first sign is the sign of deception. Jesus says to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many." Right? So be careful of deception. Be careful of following people who claim to be the Messiah, or to be some Messiah figure. And Jesus says to his disciples, be careful, watch out, be awake, be alert of this. Secondly, he speaks of wars. He says, you will hear of wars and even rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. In other words, Jesus is saying, be aware of premature excitement. Right? There are certain things that need to take place before his coming. But even when we hear of deception, when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, he says the end is still not there. Then he goes on to say that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So there's going to be a lack of peace on the earth, where the nations are going to be in enmity towards each other. So that is another sign, the sign of wars. The third sign is the sign of natural phenomenon. He says there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And again, he says, all these are the beginning of birth pains. And so, he's warning against a premature excitement to his coming. So, famines, earthquakes, and this is going to be spread out because it's going to be in various places. And then he likens all of this to the beginning of birth pains. Now, for you women who've given birth, and you've gone through the natural birth, you probably understand this more than us men. But in watching my wife being pregnant four times and delivering naturally four times, I could witness from the outside what was going on. And when the water would break, and then the contractions would start, and it would start very, very small, and then as it comes near to the baby actually coming into the world, the contractions get bigger, and the pain gets more severe, and then the baby comes. And Jesus likens his coming and the events and the signs that would take place using this imagery of birth pains. It starts small, and then it intensifies. It intensifies up until the baby comes, or up until he returns, is the message that he wants to give us here. So, again, be aware of premature excitement. The fourth sign is persecution. He says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. So there's going to be widespread persecution for the followers of Jesus Christ. Why? For that very reason that we are followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, he says, you will be hated by all nations because of me. So the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ would be at that point, just prior to his coming, an unwelcome, an unfriendly message for those nations that would reject Christ and reject the good news. So much so that the followers of Jesus, Christians, will be persecuted. Firstly, he speaks of the sign of apostasy. He says, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. We've already dealt with deception. But it's in view of what the false prophets are saying that people are turning away from their faith, and they're betraying and hating each other. And then he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And so, in the midst of the picture that Jesus is creating of just the turmoil in the world at that time, he still brings out the glimmer of hope through that there is going to be salvation for those who will still stand for him, that those who will still journey in their faith, those that would walk with Jesus no matter what will come their way, no matter what's happening all around them, no matter the persecution and the hardship and whatever false prophets and false teachings are out there, but these are those who are sticking with Jesus. And the promise is that the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. There's a sixth sign, and Jesus brings out now the gospel's universal influence. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? In the whole world, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so this is one of the immediate signs preceding the coming of Jesus Christ. It is the spread of the gospel. In the midst of all of the chaos, the gospel is going to be spread. And we know that church history has taught us that it's normally during times of persecution that the gospel spreads at its most. And so this is the picture that we are getting here, that the gospel is going to reach every nation, even as every nation and all of the leaders of the nations will turn against Christians. But it will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then Jesus says, the end will come. Now more than ever, the gospel is gaining inroads into nations previously closed to the gospel. Through the airwaves, through the internet, the gospel is reaching people. And we praise God for that. Where previously we could not go because of countries closed to the gospel, we thank God that the doors have been opened for the gospel to penetrate through the airwaves and through the internet. So there is going to be the gospel's universal influence. Seventhly, another sign, Jesus speaks of distress. Listen to what he says. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloth. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. So again, just prior to Christ's coming, great things are going to be happening. Big things. And one of them Jesus pointed to is that which Daniel himself pointed to, the abomination that causes desolation. Then also, there being no time to go and find security and to get secure, because at Christ's coming, he says, before his coming, there's going to be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. So the question comes to us, Will believers go through the great tribulation? And I believe, yes, we will go through the great tribulation, because Jesus speaks about it here. And many commentators see this as the great tribulation. And believers going through this. And look at what Jesus says. There will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and then he says, and never to be equaled again. And then he goes on to say that those days will be cut short for the sake of the elect. And praise God for that. So, distress is another sign. Number 8, false messiahs and false prophets will arise. Listen to what Jesus says. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you ahead of time. So, if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out, or here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus saying, towards the end, when he, just prior to his coming, you're going to get all different claims of messiahship. He says, don't listen to them. Whether they're calling you out in the open, or even within a secret venue they're calling you, be careful, don't listen to them. And these are the signs that are going to precede Christ's coming. Then ninthly and finally, Christ's coming will be visible and audible to all. So in other words, Jesus is saying, if people are calling you to the desert and they're calling you to an inner room, they are actually false messiahs, false Christ. And then he lays out how his coming is going to take place. It's going to be, number one, visible to all. And secondly, it's going to be audible to all. Listen to what Jesus says. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, speaking of the great tribulation, after the great tribulation, he says, what's going to happen? The sun will be darkened. The moon is going to stop giving its light. He speaks of the stars falling from the sky, and this is another way of saying there's not going to be any light of the stars. And then he speaks of the heavenly bodies being shaken. So that which is above or within the atmosphere, and even above the atmosphere of the earth, all of that is going to dissolve. There'll be no more sun, no more moon, no more stars, no more heavenly bodies out there. They're all going to be shaken. And then he says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man where? In heaven. Right? And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man. He'll be coming on the clouds of heaven. How? Christ is going to come with great power. And just at the mention of great power, ESCOM has let us down. And so whilst we are recording this sermon, but Christ won't let us down. His power is unlimited. He's the omnipotent God. He's going to come with great power, and he's going to come with great glory. And he will, the Bible says, send his angels with a loud trumpet call. So it's going to be a loud event. It's going to be a visible event. It's going to be a loud event. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other, where believers from all over, as we are reminded in 1 Thessalonians, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with him forever and ever. Oh, Christ's coming is going to be indeed be a huge spectacle. It's going to come with power. It's going to come with great glory, and we need to be excited and prepared for Christ's return. Thirdly, how do we apply this? How do we apply Christ's coming to everyday life? And this is from verses 32 to verse 44. And these are truths that Jesus gives us. So in light of his coming, in the light of his return, this is how we should live, he says. Now, firstly, we've got to live with the awareness of Christ's coming. Live with the awareness of Christ's coming. Listen to what Jesus says. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation, which generation? The generation that's alive. And a generation is about 40 years. So that generation in that 40-year time span will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And then Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So Jesus is saying, in essence, you're going to see all of these things happening. And just like when you see a fig tree, that it's twigs are getting tender, its leaves come out, you know that the seasons are changing. He's saying, just like that, when you see all of these signs, know and recognize that my coming is right at the door. And it's within that generation that all of these events will take place. And we can be sure of his word. So, how should Christians live? Live with the awareness of Christ's coming. The old song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And we got to realize that. Don't sink our roots too deep in this world. Live with the awareness of Christ's coming. Secondly, Jesus reminds us that we need to be prepared for his coming. Be prepared for his coming. Listen to what he says. For about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were, what were they doing? They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. They're living lives normally. He says, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So believers, we need to be prepared. Live as a prepared bride, because Christ is coming for his prepared bride. Those who know His salvation, those who know the reality of His Spirit within us, the closeness of God, not just a God for us, a God with us, but a God in us. Those who are living out the fruit of the Spirit, through the Spirit who bears that fruit in us, so that we live out the life of Christ. And secondly, those who are serving the purposes of Christ through the gifts of the Spirit, which the Spirit bears in us. Oh, that we would be the prepared bride for Christ. We go to Revelation 19, and the picture given to us there is that fine linen, bright and clean, was given the bride to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. This is the prepared bride, the holy bride, the set apart bride, the bride who is waiting for the bridegroom to come. Church, we need to be prepared for Christ's coming. Thirdly, we are reminded that both men and women will be saved on the one hand and judged on the other hand. Listen to what Jesus says. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. And so the truth of the matter is that when Jesus comes, there's salvation for the righteous, for the prepared people of God. But there's judgment for those who don't know Him. So closed bonds, there's going to be a separation between closed bonds. But yet at the same time, we are reminded here that both men and women will experience salvation on the one hand and judgment on the other. Fourthly, Jesus reminds us that we need to stay ready. He says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, he says, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And so we know that Christ's coming is imminent. We got to expect it. We don't know. We can't go and set dates for His coming, because no one knows. But yet at the same time, we can be assured that He is coming. And so we need to stay ready. We need to keep watch. We need to be prepared. And so, as we would journey through this pandemic and going through all that we are going through and facing, and this huge pandemic of COVID-19 that has affected the whole world, has brought in this huge crisis. But within our individual lives, there may be other crises that we are facing within this major crisis. Oh, let us look to Jesus. Let us keep our eyes focused on Him. Jesus is coming again. And let us read the signs of the times. Let's look around and look at what's happening. And let us not sink our roots too deep in this world. But oh, that we will be prepared and prepare ourselves for the return of the bridegroom. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you that promises were given of the first coming of the Messiah to bring about salvation. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came at the right time, as Paul reminds us in the book of Galatians, that you came, Lord, at the right time to bring about that salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that you will come again. And thank you that at the right time you will indeed come again. And help us as your people to, Lord, be prepared, to be waiting, to be expectant. And whatever we may be facing right now, help us to trust you. Help us never to lose hope. Help us, Lord, never to lose heart. And Lord, we are asking that you would keep us as an alert community of faith. And so that even as we find ourselves, Lord, in that preparation mode during this time, that we would not fail at the same time to spread the good news of Jesus so that others will come into this hope. And so, church, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. And as you journey into this week, may you journey in His shalom, but all the time looking up for the return of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you as you go out into this week.
I see His love. bless you as you go out into this week.